You are sitting in a workshop called The Power of Faith. We began actually really 2 weeks ago, but last week was our full first week, and we are going to rock and roll, okay? I am encouraging all of you to come as often as you can. I do want you to know we are recording these sessions. If you said, gee, what was it that was said? You'll get to hear the message or the specific teachings online. However, for those of you who are sitting here, you get the benefit, and I'm talking to the people online. If they live in the within the area, I encourage you to come because we're going to have some fun. We're going to do some activities. These workshops are also meant to be very interactive. You know, if you take a look at how people learn, the best way to learn is to get all of your senses involved. I mean, I raised two children, and I remember when and they had to learn spelling, and if they had a hard word, what I would say to them is, write it down. Get a piece of paper, write it down, and as you write it down, say what you are writing. Say it about two, three times, write it two, three times, and then stand up, walk around, jump if you have to, and say it again. Guaranteed, more likely to learn than if you heard me say, this is how you spell it. The more senses, the more of your senses you get involved, the quicker you'll remember, the sooner it will go deeper within you, all right? So I'm encouraging those of you who are online to please come out to Abundant Life Christian Center for these workshops. We're going to make them as interactive. We're going to move tonight. We're going to talk tonight. We're going to have some fun tonight. There's something also about laughter in learning. You know how you enjoyed gym and you enjoyed art music class, if you enjoyed the teacher and you had fun doing it. Those are wonderful memories. So tonight we're going to build in a couple of activities and also learn the Word of God. But let's begin with prayer, because prayer is quality time with God. It's making that quality connection with God. And He, I always tell you, always wants to be invited. He is here. But there's something about a personal invitation to let Him know that we're thinking about Him and we want Him to be the supreme director of this workshop. Father, we just praise You, we thank You, and we honor You. We exalt You as the King. We give You the praise that You deserve tonight. We give our attention right now to You. You have much to say. You have much that You desire to do in our lives. And Holy Spirit, we invite You to do what only You can do. Without You, this is just a nice idea. Without You, this was just a meeting and a gathering, and there will be no transformation and no change. But with You, there will be a deep work that causes us to rise to new levels in the things of God. I ask for the anointing to flow to me, through me, to and through the people here, the anointing that breaks the yoke and removes the burdens. Open our eyes to see. Let there be illumination tonight by the Spirit, revelation knowledge by the Spirit. Lord, I thank You for all the men and women who are here tonight, who are ready to study, ready to listen, ready to learn, ready to be transformed by the Word of God. And we are a people of faith, so this is what we do. We thank You in advance that it will be done according to our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. People are still coming in. What we're going to do again is just always just recap. Last week, we mentioned some things. We started talking about what faith is, how faith comes. There were, for those of you who wanted a little extra, quote, I call homework, we gave you a couple of scripture to memorize. Those are going to be our foundational scriptures, Romans 10, 17, and Mark 11, 22. So let's start out with Mark 11, 22. What did Jesus say in Mark 11, 22? Let's see if anybody, don't look, no cheating. No cheating. Are you able to tell us? Okay, hang on. Come, my brother. Ooh, look at that. Say it nice and loud in the mic.
Have faith in God.
Ooh, give him an A+. Yes. That's our foundational scripture. It's not just having faith in all kinds of things. We can have faith in all kinds of things. And nothing is reliable except God Himself. So in order to teach on faith, biblical faith, we've got to begin at the beginning. Have faith in God. It's not even having faith in yourself, having faith even in the methodologies, the principles, or anything like that. We're going to begin our faith by looking at God, looking to God. He is reliable, dependable. He is good. He's awesome. And it is, and the Bible says that we looked at that in Hebrews 11, verse 6. And we're going to keep saying these scriptures to you until they get really deep. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because he who comes to God must believe that he is. So having faith in God begins with a belief that he is who he says he is. Okay? Romans 10, 17. How many of you remember that one? Okay, my sister up here, nice and loud.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Very important scripture. So we want to have faith in God, but how do we get it? How does it come? It just doesn't come by osmosis. It doesn't become because you are shouting in church. It doesn't come because you were singing a song. It doesn't become because your mother had faith and was a powerful woman of God. It doesn't come even necessarily because you do good works and you give to the poor. All of those are wonderful. Faith is going to come by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing something very specific. We're going to be studying that a little further by the word of God. What does that mean? Okay? We're going to do a few things tonight. First of all, we're going to do a fun activity. Now, I would like 7 volunteers. Raise your hand. You're going to have to be able to stand up front in a straight line. Come on up, my brother. You in the blue. You with the glasses. Come on. You got scaredy cats in here. Come on. It's a faith class, faith workshop. Come on. I'm looking for 7 people. Come on. I'm volunteering you. Come on. Put the coffee down and come on up here. Okay. You. You're beautiful. Come on, Marcelina. Come on. What? I have 7? I got too many men. Come on up here. Come on, beautiful. 2, 4. Oh, you see, you are number 7. Come on. Looking for a hand. She counted wrong. Okay. Oh, we got to put a woman in the middle. Do you mind? All right. Marcelina, I don't know. I'm going to make you, Denise, come on up here. Come on. I know. I'm putting you on the spot. We're going to have 8 people. 8 is the number of beginnings, a good number. I'm going to have you over here. I'm going to move. Who has the best memory? Who has a good memory? Okay, you be number 1. Okay. Who has a lousy memory? Oh, God. Okay. We'll keep you in the middle for now. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Okay. We are going to, I got to do this for a minute. Dee, I need your help. Pastor Vlad, I need your help. Can you just move this Pastor Vlad over to the side? We're going to play the game of telephone. How many remember telephone? Okay. Well, faith comes by hearing, hear by the word of God, and we're going to be looking at this wonderful game, and we're going to use that game to tell us a lot of things. So we're going to play the game of telephone. I am going to, Dee, if you hold the mic for me. I am going to give the first person a sentence. I'm going to say it to them. I am going to have them read it. I mean, I'm making it as simple as possible, nice and big. They're going to read it, and then they're going to whisper it to the person to the right of them, and we will see by the 8th person what happened to the sentence. Isn't that right? Have you ever played that game? Okay. Now, the first thing you have to do, we got to have a little more space, because you might hear the whisper. Okay? Now, here are the rules of the game. A little bit more, a little space over here. You only get to repeat it or say it 1 time. You don't get to repeat it. You know the game, right? Now you're number 1, so you got the best memory. So you come over here with me. You get to read it. I mean, you get to memorize it. You get to read it 10 times. You're the first one. Okay? Now, it cannot be passed on. It can't be read. All right? Don't say it right now out loud. You're going to, if you want, you can even read it and whisper it to the second person. But the second person has to say it without reading it, nothing, and we shall see what happens. What is your name?
Jeremy.
All right, Jeremy, do you understand how this works?
Yes.
You're the leader of the team here. How confident do you think? Now, of course, you don't know. You have no idea what he's going to say. How confident are you it's going to come out exactly correct by the time we get to Denise? Come on, we're the bold. We got some hands. Like, we got three people, two people. Come on, bold. It's going to come out exactly the way we said it. Okay, 50% correct. Okay, let's start with 100% correct. We got two people. 90% correct. 80% correct. Oh, I got two more hands in here. 70% correct. 4, 5, 6. Okay, that's pretty good. 60%, you know, kind of halfway. Oh, okay, so 50%. 50. 40%. 30%. Oh, God, we got more hands coming up. Okay, we'll stop there. Okay, Jeremy, you got it? Okay, sir. You're going to, you know what? We're going to be nice to you. We're going to have you come here. We're going to read it to him. You got it. Oh, look at that confidence. You got it memorized. Okay, so you got to whisper, and it has to be a whisper. Whisper. You can only say it once. Come on. Okay, la da 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 da. Whisper, whisper. That's right. Close your ears. Close your ears. Close your ears until you get to you. Yes, that's a, we add that rule to. Got to close your ears. Okay, ready? Whisper. You can't. No talking aloud here. No talking aloud.
How fast can you say it next time?
All right, we're number 5, number 6 are having a discussion. No, okay, wait, let's keep going. Just give it what you got. Give what you got. I wish we could videotape the faces. All right, Denise, I know I put you on the spot. Oh, wait. Okay, nice and loud. We got to do it on the mic.
That doesn't even make sense.
Jokeries, twisteries have faith in God. One more time.
Jokeries, twisteries have faith in God.
Jeremy, come on over here. Okay, hang on. All right, number four. Let's see.
I think it is jokers, jesters jumped and did it for Jesus.
One more time.
Jokers, jesters jumped and did it for Jesus.
Wrong. Okay, now let's see. Wait, hang on. Jeremy, slowly. Yep. Tell us what it is.
Jokers, jesters, and jugglers jumped and jingled for the King of Jordan.
Yeah. Yes. All right. You can all see. Give them a hand. So jokers, jesters, and jugglers jumped and jingled for the King of Jordan. So I don't know how Jesus made it in there, but that was good. Faith made it in there. That was good. We did have jokers. I think, I don't know. Denise, what was the first one you said? Jokeries or something. Okay. Now, Pastor Pat, can you put the... Okay. Now, we had fun with that. I want to do it. Well, actually, you know what I just thought about? We're going to do another one. Yeah, let's have 8 more people. Come on. We're going to use scripture this time. Woo! Yeah, move it back. Yeah. Let's have some fun. Come on, 8 people. We got 1, 2, 3, 4. We got powerful men of God. Oh, yes. Come on down. 3, 4, 5. I know you don't want to get embarrassed. Come on, my brother. There you go. Okay, come on. There you go. Let's see. 2. Boy, the men. The men are on tonight. Look at that. Okay. How many do you have? 9, 8? You're representing. Got 1 woman. 2, 4, 6, 7, 8. Awesome. Right down the middle. Okay. So now that was a fun phrase. Now how about scripture? Can you handle scripture? I think we better put her in the middle and see what happens. All right, 2 here. All right. Let's try this one. It's just one verse. I made it. Look how big I made it. It's like, okay? I'll even tell you what it is for those of you who want. Well, actually, it's actually two verses. Galatians 1, 18, 19, okay? In the New King James. So I'm going to, Galatians, yeah, it's two verses. But it's, I'll tell you, it's something that Paul said about himself. So it's something that Paul said. I mean, I'm trying to give them something to work with, okay? And your name, sir?
Troy.
Troy. Are you ready, sir? Okay, come on over here. Now you get to read it, memorize it, give it, you know, hang in there. Okay, say it to yourself, but not out loud. You can read it to the second person. So because you're the fine leader, you get to do that. Okay, everybody close. Okay, space, 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 a little more space between you. Okay. Ready? Go ahead. You can even show it to him if you want to. That's how I make it as easy as possible. He can even read, you can read it to him. Whisper, la da 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 da. That's right. No looking, no reading lips. Well, I'm giving them a heads up. I'm like trying to make it easy for him. First person got it right. Okay, that's enough. Time's up. Does he look confident? Okay, go ahead. You get to whisper.
Yeah, I'm trying. Can we get one more look?
No, it's too late. Sorry, my brother. Just try. That we're making a point. Already where you can, if you were again watching, if you were here, for those who are watching online, we got number two is struggling to try to remember what number one, who read it to him, said. Only one time, can't repeat it. Number three is laughing. That's it, time's up, moving on. Move on. Okay. Okay, you can't, sorry, you can't repeat. Figure, just give what you've got. Give what you think you got. The word of God, think about it. I mean, it wasn't even anything that Jesus said. Okay. We've got a strong pause. We're looking down, hoping we get revelation from the ground.
It could come.
That's right. Did I give you the scripture? Yeah, I have the piece of paper. Well, actually, why don't you hold on to it? And then I'm going to have you come down. Actually, why don't you sit right there and wait. What's going on over here? We got a prayer meeting going on over here. Okay, we're number eight. Number seven is about to share. Well, that was a short prayer. Okay, hang on. Okay, tell everybody your name.
My name is George.
George, it looked like you had a really great team. So.
Circus Chiefs, yeah. Maybe Circus Chiefs were great back in the day.
So what is the word of the Lord? What does Galatians 1, 18 and 19, New King James Version says?
Galatians got lost in translation. They said, the son of James 1, 2, 3, 4.
What?
And by the door. That's what I got.
Wait a second. One more time. I think interpretation. Read that one more. Did you get one more time?
James 1, 2, 3, 4, and by the door.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Come on up here. What does Galatians 1, 18, turn to everybody so they can see your handsome face.
Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother.
Okay. All right. Give them a hand as they go sit down. It wasn't really deep. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. and I remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. So what's the point? Okay, Pastor Vlad, can you put that back up here? All right. For those of you who played the game, you have a visible, physical example. And for those of you who are watching, I want you to try to remember. This is what happens when we do not know what God's word said. We don't go to the source. Things can adjust. Things can be said that are not in the word of God. We can believe things that God has not said. Tradition is one of the most opposing forces to God's word. Because what's tradition? It's passed on from generation to generation, from people to people. And Jesus said that you, as a matter of fact, let's turn to it. I didn't write it down, but the Holy Spirit is telling me, find the scripture. Let's turn to Mark, where Jesus talks about tradition. Hang on a second. I think it's Mark chapter 4, maybe not. I will find it somewhere. If you find it first, let me know. Sorry? Seven what? Mark 7. Thank you. Let's turn to Mark 7. This is the other thing, too. And again, encouraging everybody online, if you can, come on out. Or if you are even listening online, open your Bible. Now, don't just hear me. Look at it. See it. Look at it yourself. Okay? Look at verse 8. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. And again, he's talking specifically about, he was talking to the Pharisees, and really he was talking about what Isaiah prophesied. These people honor me with their heart, but with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So he says, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. So you can put aside the word of God if your tradition is more important than the word of God. So tonight, we're really talking about, we're still talking about faith. Of course, we're going to be talking about faith every single week. But what's the main point here? If I had to give a title today, it would be The Foundation for Faith or Faith on the Rock. I think we're going to be calling this lesson Faith on the Rock. What is a rock? A rock is certainly a solid object. I mean, it's symbolic of something. I mean, rocks, you can pick up rocks. But the idea of a rock is the idea of something that is hard, something that is solid, something that's just not going to break apart and fall apart. Our faith has to have something very solid to stand on, very solid to build on, very solid to operate on. When God says have faith in God, he is not saying have faith in chance. He's not saying have faith on a maybe. He's not he's not saying have blind faith. Faith in God is not blind faith. Now, faith may not see some things, but it's not blind in the sense of I hope it works. I hope God comes through because I don't know if he's honest or if he's going to be there or not. If God says he's going to show up, he's going to show up. And he wants you to know that because he has said it. He has shown it to you. You have experience with him. You have history with him. You've heard from him. And so your faith, walking by faith, living by faith, all of these things have to be based on something. It cannot be even based on what I'm saying to you, cannot be based on what a minister tells you about faith. You must know what is written. You must know for yourself what God has said. You will be a baby in faith. You will have little faith. You will have faith that cannot withstand a storm or even a little breeze of an attack if you do not know what God's word says. And if you go by what people said, well, here's the thing. It may be right, maybe not. So what I want you to do is I want you to turn to the book of Acts. And then we're going to do another activity together. I want you to turn to Acts 17. Some of you may or may not know where I'm going. And we're going to read Acts 17, and we are going to read about the Bereans. Anybody remember? We read that, I think, a week or two ago. It bears repeating. These are a specific group of believers, but God mentions them. The Holy Spirit felt the need to put them in the Bible. this particular group, and he applauded them. And they were highly exalted in the sense of like they got recognition because of something that they did. So Acts 17, let me find my Bible right here. I got a couple of different things here. I'm going around. Let me just put this here so it doesn't fall off. Who has Acts 17, 10 to 12? Who has it? Why don't you read it to us? I'm going to bring the mic so you hear other voices.
10 through 12?
Yes.
Okay. That very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. When they arrived there, they went to the Jewish synagogue, and the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. And they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day, to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. As a result, many Jews believed, as did many of the prominent Greek women and men.
Okay, so Paul is this anointed minister, anointed preacher, and he's telling them what, you know, about Jesus. He's telling them, but what did the Bereans do? Did they just say, oh, okay, yes, I feel the anointing. Yes, I sense that God's presence is on you. Yes, I believe what you said. No, they didn't just believe it. They didn't just take it for granted. They searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was telling them the truth. When you depend on the minister to do your searching for you of the scriptures, you are a baby Christian. And I'm going to use the word, you may not like it, but you are a lukewarm Christian. Because one minute you like it cold, one minute you like it hot, and you don't know where you're going to be. So you're going to be comfortable right in the middle. There are some things you got to be hot for Jesus, something you got to be cold for Jesus. Some things are yes, and some things are absolutely no. When you don't know what God says yes to, you're compromising. When you don't know the things that God says no to, you can compromise. And Jesus said, being lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth because you don't know where I stand on any issue. So it's very important that we know the word of God. We're going to do another activity, but let me just, we're not going to turn to these scriptures, but Jesus himself, okay, the Son of God, left his position of Godhead, so to speak. I mean, he was always God, but he became man. He put aside his godly or divinity rights and privileges to be a man. I want you to know when Jesus was on the earth, he came as an example for us of how it could be. Jesus did not do anything on earth as God. He did everything on earth as a human anointed by the Spirit. So when Jesus healed, he wasn't saying, okay, I'm Jesus, the second person of the Godhead. He said, I do not do anything that the Father doesn't tell me to do. I don't say anything the Father doesn't tell me to say, and I don't go anywhere where the Holy Spirit or the Father tells me to go. Everything was under the direction of God, of the Father. He had to wait until John the Baptist. Think about this. There's a reason why I'm saying this. Maybe one person needs it. Jesus waited until he was approximately 30 years old. He goes to the Jordan, and he submits to a man called a prophet, John the Baptist. Jesus submits. John recognizes, oh my gosh, you are the one we've been waiting for. You're the Lamb of God. I should be baptized by you. Jesus says, oh no. The right thing to do is you are the anointed prophet. I'm going to submit to what you are called to do to me. We got a lot of people who are exercising their authority who don't know the word of God. Jesus himself knew that he had to wait for the prophet John to baptize him. And then it says the heavens opened and the Spirit came down on him. And at that moment, he was anointed to move in power. And that before that, even he said they had to pass some tests. Jesus had to pass some tests. He was tempted, the Bible says. Take a look at Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4. And it says that Satan was allowed to tempt Jesus and to tell him things and ask him to do things and even quoted scriptures without going through all of this. For those of you who are a little more advanced, what did Jesus do when Satan spoke to him? He said, it is written. Jesus knew what was written. And he knew that he had to go and tell Satan, when you do not know what is written, you can be deceived, you can be moved to and fro like every wind of doctrine, like children, tossed to and fro. You will never grow up in faith. That doesn't mean your faith will not be tested. It doesn't mean that you can't continue to grow in faith. But if you're going to have faith in God, you're going to have to spend time in the Word of God. You're going to have to know what the Bible says. At least you're going to have to know what it says about specific things. If you're believing for healing, you better know what the Bible says about healing. If you're believing for finances, what does the Bible say about finances? If you're believing for something to happen in a relationship, you need to know what has God said and what is God saying. And that's what we talked about last week. What has God said? And what is God saying? Well, how am I going to know? Am I going to wait for an angel to appear? Am I waiting for goosebumps? Am I waiting for maybe the pastor or the exhorter at church might come and tell me? Do I go and ask somebody, hey, can you pray and ask God for me? What do you think I should do? And we need to know how to do this for ourselves. The scriptures ought to be very important to us. So, again, I keep wanting to go to this activity, but we're going to have to do one more thing. We're going to look at some scriptures, and then we'll have that fun activity. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4. God's word is the foundation and must be the foundation of our faith. Without it, we're really on sinking sand. We're just throwing darts in the wind. Might hit something, might be right, might be not. We don't know. You must have evidence in the Word of God that it is what God has said and it is what God is saying. And you have to understand the Bible, I know I'm kind of not deviating, but there are some things that God wants you to absolutely know. And in order to make sure you know, it's written all over the scriptures. I mean, it's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament, it's in the books, Paul's letters, it's everywhere. That means there are what we call the majors in the Bible and then the minors. God wants us to know the majors. That means finding scripture, is it written? You can find it everywhere. Is Jesus a major in the Bible? Yeah. Now, people go back and forth, did Jesus have blue eyes, brown eyes, or green eyes? What color were his eyes? Okay, we got fire, okay, the book of Revelation, okay, it is, okay. What I'm talking about on earth, does it matter? And you know, some people, they make a whole doctrine about that. And their whole faith is about the height of Jesus, the color of Jesus, the hair length of Jesus. And you know what? Jesus was a man. And the Bible says that his appearance was not such that we would be attracted to him. Think of that. So all of you has this grandiose idea of like, you know, with a halo around his head. That is not what the Bible teaches. That's what tradition teaches. That's what many artists. You're going to build your faith on an artist and not the Word of God? Oh, gosh, I'm going. The movies they make. I mean, I was, the other day, I think Noah, I don't know if my husband was watching Netflix. I can't remember what it was. But the most recent movie about Noah with, what's his name? Yeah. With who again? So in case the inline people want to know.
Russell Crowe.
Yeah, I mean, I respect the guy. He's an actor, but he's an actor. Look, the Bible says in the Old Testament, the Bible says in the New Testament, there were 8 people who were right in the boat and came out. Well, just that little detail is not in there. And I'm not saying that, you know, there were things. In other words, if you don't know what the Bible says and you're going to let Hollywood tell you, you're in trouble to begin with. Before you even start, you're getting yourself set up for failure. And yet there are people who must have excitement and entertainment and their senses, their senses riveted and so forth, for them to say, okay, now it's God because, you know, somebody wrote a book about it. If it's not in the scriptures, you are not obligated to believe it. Okay? All right. Hebrews 4:12. Let's see. Somebody who can read it. I'm going to go over here. Come on. We need a female's voice. Come on, my sister. You look beautiful. You're not there. Come on. Who has it? Come on here, my sister. Come on. Stand up bold and strong. I'm going to make my way. Excuse me. See, I'm moving. I'm going to get involved. I'll hold it and you read it. She wants the mic. I told her to be bold.
Okay. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Amen. Another translation. How about everybody have God's word? God's word is alive. Let's see.
For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Okay. God's word is living. When you go to the scriptures, you have to know ahead of time you're just not reading any old thing. Oh, sure, there's letters and words, but it's not like any other word or any other book anywhere, past or present or future, really. The words come alive, but they come alive for those who believe, okay? The word of God is alive. Now, notice it says the word of God is alive and it's powerful. And it's able to do things. It's able to cut. It's able to pierce. Key words. I just want to stay there. I feel like the Lord wants us to stay there for a moment. When I say your faith has to be built on the word of God, we're not just saying, you know, you just have to memorize scripture and all of a sudden. It, when you go expecting the word of God to do what it says it will do, it will do something in you. It will deposit things in you. It will change things in you. It will pierce. It will cut. It will eliminate. It will eradicate. It will cleanse. It will do something that you cannot do on your own. Now, in that scripture, it says it cuts and it pierces. It cuts like a double-edged sword. It cuts in every direction, is what it's telling you. It cuts in every direction. Now, I've got some scissors. I'm not the best cook and so forth, but I mean, I got some sharp scissors and I got some sharp knives at home. And I'm telling you, sometimes I'm cutting my onion and I'm like, and then all of a sudden I come to work and I'm like, gee, where did that come from? I thought I was careful. I mean, I got some really sharp knives. I mean, just a little scrape and I mean, you're gonna bleed, you're gonna cut. The word of God will cut you in every direction if you let it. The word of God can pierce. Now look at the words. Look at the things that the Bible says. It will pierce where? It can pierce to the dividing line between soul and spirit. Soul and spirit sometimes are hard to discern and differentiate. The word of God can go right to the exact center. It is able to differentiate and cut right where it needs to go and says, this is of the soul, this is of the spirit. It can pierce to that dividing line. It says that it can pierce to the joint and marrow. If you think about your skeletal system, that's the foundation of your body. It will go inside your bone, to the joint, the marrows, your bone marrow. It can heal you. It will go that deeply in your being physically. It can judge. It can discern thoughts. That thought is of God. That thought is of the devil. That thought is of your mother. It can discern the intentions of the heart. It already knows what you're going to do before you do it. It knows your motives. While you read the word of God, the Lord begins to highlight that is not a good motive. That's how powerful and alive the word of God is. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 63. Thank you. I forgot about that. If the word of God is going to be the foundation of our faith, we have to know what is the word of God. I love John chapter 6, one of the longest chapters. Got a lot of things that happen in there. But in verse 63, this is what Jesus said. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So the words of Jesus, the word of God is just not like anybody else's word. It's alive. It has the ability to do things. The Lord is having, let's turn to 2 Corinthians. There's one scripture I did not put in my notes, but Holy Spirit is highlighting it. I love when the Holy Spirit is allowing us to flow. Don't you like the flow? Yeah. That means if we didn't have it prepared, he says you need it now. And that, so let's go ahead and look at that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll have to kind of give context to it, but it says, starting with verse 4, and we have such trust through Christ toward God. So Paul is writing the Corinthians. This is the manner in which we're trusting God through Christ. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. In other words, Paul is saying, listen, we're not that big deal. We're really nothing. We're not sufficient of ourselves to even think that we're this, you know, amazing, bright, smart men of God. But our sufficiency is from God. In other words, God is the one who makes us sufficient. And he says, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant. So Paul was called to be a minister of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It's when this word is connected to the Spirit of God that it gives you life. You can quote this scripture and be Pharisaical, legalistic, and have no life. And all you produce is death in yourself and others. So you don't read this book like as if it's some math book or some history book or some science book or some philosophy book. The Holy Spirit is what causes it to come alive. So we're talking about, you know, faith being founded in the Word. So that means when you go to God's Word, you go with an attitude. Don't just go and say, well, I guess I better read my chapter today. Okay, check. You go to look, to receive, to let it come back to you, to let it do stuff to you, to cut you, to pierce you, to transform you, to illuminate. My word, it says, is a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. I mean, there's so many scriptures about the Word of God. If you want to really study out what David said, look at the longest psalm, Psalm 119. All of it is all these verses about what the Word of God is and his love for the Word of God. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. If you are foolish, if you don't know where to go, it says the Word of God illuminates your path. The Word of God is treasure. The Word of God is better than food. It's like honey. It does things. It feeds you. It does all kinds of stuff to you. But if without this attitude, your faith cannot grow. You're just waiting on a feeling. The Word of God. All right, we're going to do another activity. I want you to break up into groups. Can you come and help me, Dee and Pastor Bob? We're going to break up into groups of five. We're going to give you... You're going to fill in some blanks from the Word of God. Okay, come on, quickly, quickly. Somebody has to write. Now, if you all can write, that'd be great, but at least one person in the group has to write. If you come, Dee, on this side, maybe, while Pastor Vlad, you can give it to everybody. Hopefully we have enough. I don't know. It looks like there's a lot of people in the room today. Can someone help? Bruce, I'm volunteering you to help. My brother, can you pass them down? If you can give one to every single person. Let's see. I need another helper over here so we get a lot this to go faster. Pastor Vlad, can we maybe pass it on to... Okay, Pastor Harry is here. He can help. Okay, thank you so much. Try to distribute it. And as soon as you get it, get started. Okay, gonna fill in the blanks. I know this is not a test, it's an open book test. She's smiling. It's an open book test. Okay, so fill in the blanks. Fill in the blanks. Oh, you didn't get paper over here? Okay, we're gonna hear a lot of talking in the room. Go ahead, start talking, start reading. Okay, if you have passed it down the aisle, pass it toward the end of the aisle so we can give it to everybody in the room. Okay, to make it go faster, you can do it a couple of ways. You can do it together. It would be good to do it together. Somebody opens the Bible, somebody goes on, you know, whether it's hard copy or Electronic, fill in the blanks. Everybody should fill in the blanks. More fun if you do it together, a little faster. You only have 5 minutes. A minute per scripture. Well, actually, I should give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All right, more than 5 minutes. 10 minutes. Hello? Okay. Just remember, depending on which translation of the Bible, you may have to find the best word, okay? That's why we have you in groups, because one person may have the more appropriate word. So if you have a very, not the word loose, but a translation that is kind of more paraphrase type, not literal, thank you, that's what I'm looking for. Thank you so much. You got the word interpretation. If you don't have a literal translation, you may have to guess which word. Okay, we're going to do about 3 to 4 minutes. How are we doing? Okay, who still needs time? Are we all done? Wow, we got some good students in here. Praise God. Okay. These are some of the scriptures that we're going to be looking at. So let's all kind of sit back or get back into comfortable mode again. Okay? I want to share something with you that is very true. We talked about how the Word of God is alive. I want you to hear me. There are people who have heard the Word of God come through the mouth of an actor who they don't believe what they're doing. They're just it's drama. And people have gotten born again. So if the word is going out, it's good news. If people hear the word of God, it has the ability to make a change in people's hearts and lives. That's how powerful God's word is. All right, so first one, Luke 17:5. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So they were walking with Jesus and they were with him, and they still knew that, you know, they would see what he did. And one of the things that they cried out is, Lord, increase our faith. That has to be our cry too. And now Jesus answered and said some things to them, which we'll be exploring in the next, you know, in weeks to come. How do we increase our faith? We want to have faith in God. We know it comes, but how do we make it grow and make it powerful and so forth? God, there are ways to increase our faith. There are things that increase your faith, and there are things that decrease your faith. So we want to be believers and disciples that are growing in faith, developing our faith, increasing our faith. And we want to know how it works. Faith should not just be, what is it? I don't know. I mean, I'm telling you, there was a time I'm like, okay, faith does this. I have to have faith. Faith, what is it? I don't even know if I have it. I don't know if it's strong. You know, we want to have understanding. If faith is important to God, we ought to have a better knowledge and grasp what it is. Okay, so that's one of the things we want to cry out to the Lord. Lord, increase my faith. Okay? Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Listen, that's going to be on every single thing that we do, okay? Because we have to have faith in God. Okay, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he comes to God, must believe. Key word, must believe. It's not just a matter of coming to God. We have a lot of people coming to God. Every time we meet at church, we have a time of gathering. People come to God all the time. People come to the altar. People come to you and they say, pray, please seek God for me. But doesn't mean they believe. God says, if you're going to come to me, you got to believe some things. Got a lot of people coming with no believing. Okay, so that's going to be a very important part. When you come to God, so here's my question. I want you to make it personal. Make it personal right now. Don't look at anybody to the right or left. Look, God is talking to you right now. And I want you to just pause. You don't have to answer it. Just the question's being asked. God is saying to you, when you come to me, what is it about me that you believe? Just pause. Make it personal. If God were to say to you right now, when you come to me, what is it about me that you're believing? That's very important because that affects what you say, what you ask, what you do, when you're in his presence, when you're in prayer. It depends on what you believe about him. Okay. So there are some things that God says you must believe about me. God is saying that to you. There are some things about me you must believe when you come to me. So God has already determined what you must believe about him when you come. It's not left to chance, not left to guess. There are two primary things that God wants you to absolutely believe when you come to him. And the first one is you must believe that he is everything that he says that he is. So how am I going to find out what he said about who he is? Got to go find out. Remember last week I said to you, if you want to know who I am, you want to know what my favorite perfume is, that's not important information, but you can guess all you want, or you can ask me. Come spend time with me. You'll know things about me. God reveals himself to those who diligently seek him. He wants to be known personally by you. He does not want you to say, well, you know, the pastor said, and my mother said, and tradition said, my denomination said. What do you believe? So Jesus is asking the same question. Who do men say that I am? And then he comes to you. Who do you say that I am? And that's really the message tonight. Because your foundation of faith has to be in God. What do you believe about God? Who do you say that he is? There's a second thing that God expects us to believe about him, which we will explore later. But let's start with the first things. First things first, who is God to you? All right, let's look at this, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So this scripture is telling us that you were saved by grace through faith. So grace is God's power and willingness to do things for you that are amazing and wonderful without your input, your help, or anything about you. It is his willingness and power to do wonderful things for you. We receive by grace God's ability, his power, and his willingness to do something for you. That's what grace is. Unmerited favor. So God chooses to favor you. God chooses to save you. God chooses to give to you. God chooses to do this out of his own willingness, out of the good pleasure of his will and power for you. However, it must be received by faith. So faith is the hand that receives what grace has given. So we're saved by grace through faith. Faith is still something that has to happen. We got to believe that God has actually given it. God's given a lot of good things, but a lot of people aren't receiving it because they don't believe it's been given. So just because it's been given doesn't mean you possess it. Just because it's been given doesn't mean you're experiencing it. Just because it's been given doesn't mean you have it in your life. Experientially. Grace gives, faith takes. What God has chosen to give in by his grace, we possess it by faith. Take it by faith. So even believing God to be saved, the Bible says that actually, and we're going to read it, and there's so many other passages, that the faith to believe to be saved actually was a gift. You cannot believe the message of salvation without God's help. You get no credit. Zero. God had to actually give you faith to believe the message of salvation. A God that you cannot see becomes flesh, dies for all the sins of the world, raises himself, you know, gets raised on the third day. Who believes such a story? How can you believe such a report? It's foolishness. It's foolishness. You know, I've got 2 bachelor's degrees, and I'm letting you know, the science would say, it's foolish. Man says that's foolish. That's just nonsense. That's a story. That's a fairy tale. And yet God says, that is the word of God. And for you to receive salvation, you got to believe the story. You cannot believe the story without help from God. God has to give you the faith to believe it. So faith actually begins with just a gift from God. So the gift of salvation. So let's turn to Romans chapter 10, which is sort of what we were the other day. Last week, I should say, and again, I had you memorize Romans 10:17, but in context, okay, we know the scripture, but in context, meaning that if you look at what was said and what was happening, what the listeners were hearing, we want to see where did that verse come from, Romans 10:17. Let's actually look at it. So I think it's an important thing to see again. Again, we're in the beginning of our workshop. We're talking about where faith comes. How does it come? How does it grow? How does it get in you? Okay? It says that, let's see. Let's look at starting with verse 6. Romans 10, verse 6. And again, please look at your Bible. Please see that what I'm saying is actually in the Bible, right? It says, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Ooh, I love that. Speaks. Faith speaks. We're going to be, there's going to be a part 1 and part 2 starting next week called On the Language of Faith. The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart who will ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Sounds pretty simple, right? For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And let's look at verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? So now let's look at verse 14. It says, how then shall they call on the Lord? It says, whoever calls on the Lord shall be saved. So how are they going to call on him? In whom they have not believed. How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, somebody with the ability to speak God's word? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? I mean, this kind of report, believe it, Jesus died and then he rose. And how is it going to come? Verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So somebody has to speak the message of salvation. And when you hear it and your heart hears it, something happens. That's how you got born again. Somehow, somewhere, some way, someone, you heard. You heard. You heard it. And you heard it, and it the words themselves and the message pierced your heart. So if you're here and you are born again, it happened. Sorry, you're caught. Not sorry. Done. Born of incorruptible seed. If you're sitting here and you are saying, I have no idea what you're talking about, lady. What's this whole salvation is? What do you mean? Then you are not yet born again. The message of salvation about Jesus. You have to believe in your heart that message, that what Jesus did for you on the cross, that you were a sinner, and you have to admit that you need him. No one comes to God on the basis of pride. No one comes to God on the basis of works. I worked hard, I did, I paid, I prayed. No. You have to hear this message that without God, without Jesus, you cannot be saved. Anyway, the point I'm saying is that we have to hear the word of God. We have to make time to hear the word of God to be saved. So, and it is a gift of God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:5. That your faith should not be in human wisdom, the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So faith can't be on wisdom, man's wisdom, the culture, and what's cool today, and what's, you know, what's on the news today, and what, you know, what's happening in government today, and what happened in the past. And it cannot rest on man, what man is saying, even if it sounds like wisdom. It's got to rest on the power of God. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we, okay, most people should have walk by faith, not by sight. You may have a translation that says live. We walk by faith. Notice, not by sight. That means what your senses, what you're seeing with your physical eyes cannot be the final authority in your life. I think about this all the time. I like planes. I love the law of lift. I love the whole how gravity is pulling down on a plane. Every time I get on a plane, I feel like a little girl. I just love planes. I really do. Love the whole idea of how a plane, and when I'm sitting on the plane, I'm thinking, gee, how high am I? How fast are we going? I really do every single time. I'm amazed that we can do what we do. I'm just like a little girl, like, how am I up here? How is this happening? How far am I? Gravity's pulling down. We're still going. Gee, I'm going to be in California in about 5 minutes. Like, how can we do this? I don't even know the pilot. Can I trust him? What if this? I don't even know these people. How is it that I'm sitting, breathing? I can go to sleep and feel very comfortable in this comfortable chair. How is this? And yet I'm moving very fast. How is it that I can get up and actually go to the bathroom? How is it? How is it they can serve me water and walk around and sing a song? I mean, how is that happening? I am fascinated by the things of God. We take so much for granted. be children when it comes to the things of God. You'll enjoy your day a whole lot more. Sometimes I think about that. I think what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling is not true. How many of you know right now, and I think I mentioned last time, how many of you know that we're spinning right now around the sun? Can you feel it? Come on, can you feel it? Hold on now. How many of you know that we're really right here? We're really tilted on one side. We really should be sliding out, right? We're on the side of the earth. We're not in the North Pole where it seems like that's where I want to be, where it seems like we should be secure. We're really over here like that. How do we do it? Does it feel it? Can you feel it? You are spinning like this around the sun, tilting. Can you feel it? You make a full rotation, the earth rotates 24 hours. Can you feel it? So can you really trust your senses? How many of you are driving down a, you know, very hot, humid day and it looks like there's water ahead? Come on, I'm a teacher that gives lots of illustrations because I want you to get it. I mean, you are convinced. There's a puddle, there's water. When you get there, what happens? As dry as could be. Can't trust your eyes? Come on, right? And we all know, we watch movies. I think I gave the example. We watch a movie and we start crying. We know it's not real and we cry. We hold our breath. We're wide. We put ourselves, we know, we actually paid the money to watch it. And we allow ourselves to feel all the emotion and we know it's not real. We paid to know it wasn't real. Can you really trust your senses? So to walk by faith, you have to know that you cannot rely on your senses, but on the word of God. If God says it's true, it's true. There's a difference between truth and fact. A fact, which we'll talk about another time. Okay, Romans 1:17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. We're to walk by faith. We're to live by faith. Faith ought to be a part of our regular life. There are things you just don't see, but you believe they're true. Just because you don't see them doesn't mean they don't exist. And when we read Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith perceives as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. And that's one of the best definitions of what faith is. So faith perceives things, believes things as real fact, even though it is not revealed to the senses. Abraham grew in faith. He was convinced that God was going to do whatever he said he was going to do. He was fully persuaded. We talked about it last week. We talked about faith is absolute assurance in the heart. You just know it. You can't see it. You can't prove it. But you got evidence because God's word says. Your first evidence is the word of God. What is written? First evidence. Well, here it is. It's written. So God will back up his word. Let's take a look at the last, most important verse, Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by, and by the word of God. Okay, this is something you're going to hear me say all the time. And it took me a long time to learn what I'm telling you. And I'm praying that you get it the first time. It took me years to say what I'm about to say. I said it last week, I'm going to keep saying it. Please hear what I'm about to say and understand what I'm about to say. Say, you see, you know, it's good to know. I mean, I've years to get this. You have to keep hearing it for faith to come and for faith to stay. Yes. Ask the question.
It's that active listening.
It's an active listening. So what that means is if I am not hearing it, I'm not talking about remembering it. I can remember what I heard in a message, in a book about faith. I can remember what I read in the scripture. That is not the same. It has to be a present tense hearing. I'm hearing it. It's going in my heart. I'm fueling. It's the same thing. It's kind of like filling up your car. So you go through your day. So you wake up and you spend time with the Lord and you're hearing the word of God and you start releasing your faith throughout the day, using your faith. Well, it begins to be used. I got to go back and refill, man, woman. I have to hear it again. Not like, oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, yeah, I know God loves me. Yeah, yeah. I got to go hear that God loves me. I got to go, Lord, do you love me today? It has to be an active, real, freshly, as if it was fresh. So I'm going to stand on the chair because I want you to remember. As if it was freshly spoken to you. It's the best way I can say it. Treat the word of God in fueling your faith as you need freshly spoken again to you. And again to you, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and you never stop. That's why Jesus says, man shall live by every word, not by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds out of the mouth. What is God, what's proceeding out of God's mouth today regarding this particular matter? So the moment you stop hearing actively, what happens? Faith starts to... Oh, you can, I'm telling you, you can be strong, 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 and I'm telling you by the end, but you've exercised faith or something happened, somebody yelled at you, went to work. Before you know it, you start out strong, and by the end of the day, you're like, what happened to my faith? But when your faith is solid and secure, so we have a few minutes. You're going to see this picture also again and again and again. I'm going to draw it on the board. When you first start hearing, and if you were at a previous workshop with me, you saw this picture. I'm telling you, It took me a long time, but that's why the Lord is, I guess, entrusting me to teach it to you. Faith is of the heart. When you first start hearing, so notice it's not just one-time hearing. That's why we love Luke 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, not remembering. Faith comes by hearing, not just watching somebody walk by faith. Faith comes, you have to hear it yourself, and it has to get into your heart. So it's the kind of hearing that allows you to get it in the heart, not just in the mind. You can be hearing me right now, and it goes, oh yeah, and then you're gonna watch. By 10 o'clock tonight, what did she say? Don't know. Went in, but you heard me. I'm talking about the kind of hearing. Now, when you first start hearing the word of God, the word of faith, it really doesn't get into your heart. It does this. Bing, ding. Sorry for those who are listening online. It does ding, ding. Sorry. You'll have to ask somebody who came to the workshop for the interpretation. You know why? Because you already have things that you believe that oppose what you're hearing. And they will say, nah, that's not right. God doesn't love me because my father, my mother abused me. How can God have allowed that? Surely God. There will be opposition. There will be thoughts, imaginations, memories, all kinds that says, no, that's not God. That's not God's word. That's not true. It's not true. It's not true. But what do you have to do if it's God's word? You got to keep hearing. Remember we talked about God's word is able to pierce. And initially, this is the other thing, when you start hearing and you're making time to hear. See, here's the thing. It doesn't just come by just coming once a week, you know, hearing an excited message, yeah, 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 hallelujah, you know, pump me up. It's you hearing and then holding it, saying, that's why Jesus said, about the sower sows the seed. The only soil that produced growth and fruit was the ones that kept the seed and allowed the seed to grow within. And there were no rocks, there were no thorns, there was nothing. We got to remove all that stuff. Mm-mm. We got to have some roots. If your faith has no roots, you can pop up, say hallelujah, but the moment even the sun, goodness of God comes, you will wither. Doesn't even take the wind. Even the blessings of God will push you away because its faith must be rooted. It has to have roots that will not, that can withstand no matter what's going on. It's just solid. How do you know? So guess what? Your faith will be tested. You're going to be tested. How do you know you're in faith? You're solid. No matter what somebody says, no matter what the enemy says, no matter what memory says, no matter what your past says, the word of God is the truth. That is how you know. And you know how you know? You will speak it because out of the heart, the mouth speaks, which we're going to talk about next week. Faith comes by hearing. But here it is. You don't believe it. When you first start hearing, I'm telling you, you don't believe it. You don't. And how do I know? Because a little test comes and I'm telling you, immediately you fall away. Immediately you forget. Immediately you speak differently than what God's word says. But as you continue, you fill your heart. This is what's supposed to happen. As you keep hearing the word of God on any particular matter, you're filling your heart, right? Keep hearing it. I'm not talking about just anything and the anointed word of God, not just somebody's nice idea. It comes, it comes, it comes, it comes. When the heart is filled, now we're dangerous. Now, we got something coming out of the heart. This is the believing that causes change. Not necessarily this little, you know, in and out deal. This is where the power is, right here. And then the Bible talks about things that cut the power, unforgiveness, which I'm just letting you know we have to understand how to play the game, if I can use that word, not the game. Faith is the game. But, you know, you can have a lot of cheerleaders jumping up and down, but they're not in the game. We got to learn how to fill the heart. So you got to hear until your heart says, got it, I'm sure, I'm fully persuaded. How do you know? You just know when you know. And if you don't, and if you're listening to me and says, well, I don't know if I'm fully persuaded, you're not. I'm making it really easy for you. You'll know when you're fully persuaded. I think it was last week. My sister, Terry, stand back up. Come on, I get to use you again. Terry, how many children do you have? Everybody turn around and tell everybody.
Three.
And I said.
Grandchildren.
And I said to you, and I said last week, I don't believe you. Come on, Terry. I don't see any kids. I don't see you look beautiful. You don't look like you're a day over 25. That's not possible. What do you say to me?
It doesn't matter what you believe. It's the truth.
I mean, she smiled at me, and she's like, you know. In other words, I know this is a dumb example. We used it last week, but whatever I say, whether I believe it or not, or I tease her, she knows she has what? How many again?
Three kids.
Three kids and?
Eight grandchildren.
She knows that she knows that she knows. Are you sure?
I'm positive.
I still don't believe you.
My initial thought was, then you're foolish. If you don't believe, because it's the truth.
It's the truth to you, and you know it to be so, right? And you're going to talk, you're going to call them, and you're going to love them and sing to them and talk, you know, bring pictures, right? You're going to act like it, whether they're physically. You can, now, can you give me evidence right now that they exist?
No.
She can't. She cannot give me any physical evidence that they, but do you believe her? I don't know. You can get a lot of people say yes to. Do you believe Terry?
Yes.
I don't know. Who cares whether we know or not we believe her? If what she believes matters. Can you see that? Thank you, Terry. It's what you believe that matters. Does it agree with God? It's that simple. It's not that complicated. Do you believe what God has said? So when you fill your heart, then faith, the believing heart is where the power is. Out of the heart, the mouth will speak. When you're fully persuaded, then it doesn't matter. Like Abraham, you'd be 99 years old. It's impossible, but God said it. And he said it to you. He didn't say it to every 99-year-old man. So that's why we have to talk about what God said to you versus somebody else. Because you might be putting your faith on what God said to somebody else. This is where we miss it up. We mess it up. There's some things about God that you're believing that are not spoken to you. What is God saying to you personally, individually? There are things that he says to everybody, applies to everybody, and there are things that are specific to you and not to somebody else. There are seasons and times. There are all kinds of things. We have to know what God is saying. Well, we're running out of time. Let me just have you turn to a couple more scriptures, and we're going to let you go. Turn to Matthew. We're going to end here. We're going to just look at two passages, I should say. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 7. We're going to end with these two scriptures and also Luke 6. Matthew 7, starting with verse 24. We're going to end in a very positive way, but something to challenge you and encourage you. Verse 24, this is Jesus. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Luke chapter 6, same message. It adds a few more things in this passage. We're looking at verse 46 to 49. I love the Luke version. This is what it says. But why do you call me Lord? Lord, 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 and not do the things which I say. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We're ending with this scripture because, again, the lesson tonight is that the word of God is always to be the rock and the foundation for our faith. Let's stand up and pray.